these scriptures together, and I want us to say, God, what is this? What is this all about? What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit that you're talking about? We're not thinking about what our dad did, what our granddad did, what they did in England in the 1800s. We're not thinking about that this morning, because what do we have this morning? We have us, we have the Holy Spirit, we have this Word. That's what we got. So we have to look at this Word and we have to say, God, what is this you're saying? What is this you're talking about? What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit? What is this thing? It's here. It's not just here. It's all over this thing. What are you talking about? And I pray that we'll just hear from heaven. And so we really do have to, a lot of times when we talk about these things, because sometimes we've heard people talk about these things, we've seen things. I know even in our current world, I might even be speaking this morning to people who've seen some weird things. We want God's thing. Amen? That's what we want. We don't want false signs. We want the power of God. And guess what? He says, come and get plugged in. Come and plug on in, because he's ready. And so when we think about this power to be a witness, I want us to even now concentrate on the fact that it says to be a witness. See, God was saying, look, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's going to transform you. It's going to transform who you are. Not just what you're talking about. And then when it transforms who you are, what you're talking about changes too. See, a witness is a person. A witness carries a fact about an event. In fact, as we have encountered Christ, we are witnesses to his resurrection. We are witnesses to his resurrection because we know it. He's alive. I saw this powerful video of Ray Comfort, and many of y'all are probably familiar with him, and he goes on the streets and he begins to engage people that are actively confessing atheism. And the very first question that he asks them, he says, are you an atheist? And the first thing they say is, yes, I'm an atheist. I mean, these people aren't, he's not interviewing some people that could care. I mean, he's talking to the people that are like, I'm an atheist, you know, they're all hardcore. And man, he breaks them down, man. Ray Comfort is amazing. He is really amazing. The video is called Evolution versus God. I don't know if y'all have ever, it's free. Just type it in on Google. It pulls up right away. It's about 45 minutes. And in fact, if you want to pass it out at schools, you can write him and he'll send you as many copies as you need. He's trying to get this message out there. Evolution versus God. And he's talking to this professor. And he says, when did you start to believe in evolution? And he said, do you think it takes faith to believe in evolution? And the guy goes, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess evolution really isn't scientific. I do kind of just have to believe what the teachers have been telling me. That's true. I can't prove it. And then the guy tried to flip the script, and he tried to bring it back on Ray, and he said, I guess I have to believe it like you have to believe in your God. And then he said, what if I tried to tell you your God wasn't real? And Ray, with the Holy Ghost full, didn't miss a beat. And he said, that would be foolish. What if I told you your wife didn't exist? Hallelujah. Woo! He said, I know my God. I speak with my Lord. My Lord has fellowship with me. You try to tell me he doesn't exist, I'll call you crazy. I'll call you ludicrous. And that is God. We are his witness. And a witness produces evidence. We are the evidence of God in this world. He's got this world full of evidence. There's evidence across the globe of who God is. And so being a witness is somebody you are. It is a state of being. And he says, I want you to receive this power to be a witness. But then a witness is also what you speak. A witness on the stand at a court hearing, if a lawyer began to interview him and ask him questions, and he just smiled and nodded, that was foolish. That's foolishness. No, he speaks what's inside of him. He tells what he knows. He presents the facts of what happened. Of who they're talking about. He's a witness. And so it's in our lives, being a witness is in our lives, but it's also in our mouths. It's everything. He says, you are to be a witness. And being a witness becomes being a carrier. We're a carrier. We're like a jumbo jet war carrier. USS Christ Jesus or something. Not us, but he's the one. It's his ship. And we're carrying the warheads, amen? We're carrying the missiles. I like to say it like Leslie says it. Missiles. We're carrying the warheads for the Lord. It's his word. And so I want you to back up one, Patrick. So the first thing I want us to realize about this power of God to be a witness is a promised power. You know, I've heard, and it's easy when we're talking about the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to think, well, it's not for me. Or, I've heard it happen to so-and-so, but nothing's happened to me. And it's easy to begin to categorize. It's easy to begin to try and filter the activity of God through the eyes of man. That's such an easy thing to do. And it's such a problematic area for everybody, for me, everybody. It's this thing that we are encountering the divine. And we have issues with this. And so Jesus was working with his disciples. Now you can go, Patrick. And Jesus was working with his disciples. And this entire time that he's working with his disciples, he is the kingdom of God on earth in action. Jesus is, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he is the Son of God, and he is on earth as a man, and he is doing the will of the Father the whole time. Action. You look in the, they say that the gospel of Mark is the action gospel. I like that. I like action. So if you want the gospel that's the most like action-packed, you go to Mark, and it just shows his miracles. He's doing miracles, 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 healings, deliverance from demons, and all of these various activities. And this entire time that he is working with these men, he's building in anticipation for future things. He's the whole time. He's working with them, and he teaches in parables, and his parables are about the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like blank. The kingdom of heaven is like blank. And he's teaching them, and he is building their faith and their hope in what he is doing and what he's going to do. And he's showing them and building them up to the cross, to the event of the cross. And so they're constantly looking forward to the cross. And Jesus saying, I have to go here. I have to do these things. I know I'm with you right now. They're with him. They're doing miracles. They're feeding people everywhere. It's like a nonstop thing. The book of John says, look, if I try to tell you about everything that Jesus did, I couldn't, because the world could literally not contain the books. That's a lot of stuff. And so they are doing all these magnificent things. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm not going to be here forever. And we have clear examples where they didn't understand exactly what he was saying. They couldn't fathom it. And so he not only builds them and points them to the event of the cross, but he points beyond. And he says, look, I'm not gonna be with you forever, but I will send another helper. I will send the counselor. I can't be here, but the Spirit of God will be here. In fact, the Bible says Jesus had done great and mighty things, but guess what? With the Spirit of God, he says, you're going to do what? Even greater things. Man, that's a promise. Even greater things. And so Jesus had this ministry of bringing these disciples and bringing their anticipation, and he makes a promise. And so if you want to turn to John chapter 16, he makes the promise in several areas about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise that I just read. And so it's John chapter 16. And it starts in verse 5. I don't know if there's something to drink. Can somebody give me a cup of water? I'm sorry. I'm so glad that. Oh, that's so great. Thanks. I don't know how to open this thing. I struggled with it so bad the other day. Okay. There we go. I mean, I was like yanking on it like the other day. It's like this old Far Side comic that I saw one time, and at the top of it, it said, School for the Gifted and Talented, and it said, Push, and the kid was pulling on it. He couldn't quite get in there. Okay. So John is talking about what happened. And he says in verse 5, he says, But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's judged. There's a finality of what is going to take place. And so, when Jesus was here, there was this activity. But he was saying, look, whenever I leave, that activity is going to remain. He's going to continue to do his work through his people. And so we want to concentrate on this ministry of witness, of being a witness. Because God wants this power to be poured out. He wants this power to be poured out. He wants his people to want this power. I want to ask us, are we willing this morning? Do we want this power? We need this power of the Holy Ghost. We have to have it. And so when we think about a promise, I want to think about how God promised this. This is a promise that he would send it. In fact, that's what we read right there in Acts. Remember the scripture we read? Y'all can turn back there, actually, because we'll be sitting there. He says, in verse 4, he says, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise of the Father. So there shouldn't be any confusion. Does God want to fill me with the Holy Spirit? No, there's no confusion there. He absolutely does. It's promise of the Father. And so I want to think about this promise and how promises of God can be. And I found this story, and I want to read this story to us this morning. It was a story about two kids, and they meet in grade school. And it's a little boy, and it's a little girl. And they're about 10 years old. And they meet and they become like best friends. They're always together, playing together. Instant companionship. And they live in a small little town, country town. And there's a lake in the city. There's a lake in the town. And that's their favorite place to go and hang out. Hang out by the lake. And they are hanging out. They make a pact with each other. And they say, look, we have to make a pact. We have to do like a pinky swear or something. and they say, let's meet with each other here at this lake every 5 years. You promise me? And they looked at each other and they said, I promise. I promise. For every 5 years, for the rest of our life, we'll meet here. We'll never be apart from each other. And so at the very first pact, they made a big deal about it. They said, oh, we're making the pact. They're 10 years old. And they have a feast. And, oh, wait, I messed it up. Okay, they meet the first pact. They're 15 now. I'm sorry. We have visions of 10-year-olds, and it has everything to do with what happens next. So they're 15 now, and they make a big deal about this first pact. We've made it. This is the first one, big deal. And she makes sandwiches. They have a feast, and he brings milk and cookies. He's like, yes, this is our pact. Inside, she dreams of marriage, and he likes her. She's cool. And for those first 5 years, man, they probably met there like every day. They were always together. Then the next 5 years aren't so frequent. They start high school. They're meeting still. They're friends. But then they get these great big visions for the future. They pick colleges, different states. She's excited. He's excited. They believe they're going to have a great future together. But they're always going to meet. They're always going to get together at this lake every 5 years. So they meet at the age of 20, and he shows up late. He couldn't get off of work. There weren't any sandwiches or cookies at this meeting, but they met, and they wanted to see each other. During the next 5 years, he meets a girl in college and marries her. The girl never married. A family and a career have their way in the boy's life, and he misses the 25-year meeting. In fact, he never goes back to any pact meetings. 40 years later, the boy is a grandfather now, and he brings his grandchildren to play at a lake that he used to play as a child at. It looks very different now. It was a little country town when he was a boy, and now it's developed. In fact, all around the lake, there's like restaurants and like a little walkway, little benches, little places to cook your food. There's a shopping center and park benches. And as he watches his grandchildren play from a distance, an old face comes walking up. Hello, an aged friend said to him. The man was in shock, not even realizing the date. It was their 65-year meeting. Why did you never come back? She asked. What are you doing here? He asked her. I promised. I promised. See, God wants to fulfill his promises. God wants to do a work. And he wants to do it in a people that want him and come to him. That's how God's promises are. He says, turn to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. He says, if my people will turn to me, will repent and pray, I will heal their land. God wants us to come to him. He's ready. He's ready to do a work. And so just like Joel, the book of Joel says, God wants his spirit poured out on men and on women, on his servants. Amen. If you're ready to serve God, he's ready to fill you up. Amen. That's the God we serve. And so the second part of the power I want to talk about is the fact that God's power is a personnel power. Go to the next one. I know people, I might have to say that right now because people are going to look at it and think I misspelled it. Didn't you mean personal power? Well, it impacts you personally, but it's for the personnel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is kingdom power. This is a power for his servants. This is power for his children. See, Jesus had been telling them about this promise. And even here in the scripture that we were reading, in verse 6, it says, he said, you're about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in verse 5. Then in verse 6, he says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, we're not going to dissect this and say, well, were the disciples right in asking this? Were the disciples wrong in asking this? All of these kinds of questions, I feel, are irrelevant. What I want us to concentrate on right now is the fact that in the midst of this, they were still misled. They're still misled. They were still thinking in physical terms, in physical way. See, the Jews believed that God, when he came back, he was going to restore a kingdom on earth, and that the Israeli people, the Hebrew people, would rule with their Messiah. So they still had this vision, really a personal vision. And when they had a personal vision of power, personal power, God had a personnel power. God was saying, look, you might not going to receive that power. But what does he say right here in this scripture? But you will receive power. You're not going to get, this might not be the power that you think it is. This might not be the power that you've always kind of wanted, a power to fulfill what you wanted to get done, but it'll get the job of the Lord done. I'm here to tell you, this is the power of God, the power to be a witness. It touches every area of our life. And so we have to understand that God wants this power, and he wants it to be used for him. He wants it to be used for his eternal purposes. I have another slide, Patrick. He wants us to use it to lead people here. This is what the power is all about, right here. This is the power of God. To open the eyes of the blind, to turn people from darkness unto light. That is the power of God. The power to be a witness. And so we can understand that this is everything, and that God's power is to equip us. God wants to baptize you with his Holy Spirit because he wants to equip you for ministry. There are so many ways I know in my own life when trying to lead people here that in my own ability, I am a coward. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, you become very bold for God. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you become a transformed person, individual. You began to speak about this like you were there that day. Amen? You begin to tell people about the blood of Jesus that can wash away the sins of the world. You begin to tell them that there is one who loves them and he wants to save them. And he wants to rescue them out of darkness. And so we see that there is a purpose for this power, this being a witness. This power, God, Jesus was saying that he was assuring them that you're going to get it. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem. There's an obedience that happened there. And so we understand it was a promise and it was for a purpose. You can go to the next slide. And so the last aspect I want to talk about is it's a promised, or not a promised, it's a provided power. A provision power, rather. It's a provision power because it is the power that brings the provision of God's enablement to ministry. When we look at the aspects, this is the best thing you can do in Bible study. You ask your, if something is presented to you, just look right there in the text and see if the answer is right there. So in this case, we have Jesus promising that the disciples will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're going to receive power. How do we know what that looked like? Look at the disciples. Look what happened in their life. Look what it says they did. Look how it says they acted. And guess what? When you start looking at it, it just jumps off the page at you because every other story, it says, and then the Holy Spirit did this. And then the Holy Spirit came and did that. And then such and such got up and spoke. But when he spoke, he was what? Full of the Holy Spirit. And it says they had to select certain individuals to wait on the tables. And they made a list, like a job description that needed to be fit to order to serve. And one of them was what? Men full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, hey, if he's not full of the Spirit, he can't do this. That's what they were saying for those men. Stephen was one of them, full of the Holy Spirit. What did he do? They were stoning him, and he stood up and said, I see the Lord, and he witnessed all the way until he died. That's what being full of the Holy Spirit will do. It enables, it's the provision power, because it provides the power of God to enable you to do great and mighty things for the Lord. And so we see that it is a power to walk out the Christian life. That's what it is. See, when we look at the context of this baptism in the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus said what? He said, wait in Jerusalem. Wait there. Don't leave there until you got it. That's still the word today. Wait on the Lord and he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You see the context. They were about to go into dangerous places. They were about to do things and encounter things they had no idea about. They had no persecution. They were about to endure every kind of persecution, execution, every kind of evil thing was going to come against them. And God was saying, look, if you don't have the power, you can't do it. You can't do it. Jesus makes this evident and clear. And what I see here is that the Holy Spirit baptism is the beginning. It happens at the beginning. He was saying this is the birthplace of the church. And he was saying, look, If you don't wait on this, if you don't get filled with this, you're not going to be able to carry on. You're not going to be able to do all these things that I'm asking you to do. And then when we see them doing the ministry, we see mighty, mighty miracles. Different men. Men who were denying Christ were now standing up and saying, "You crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You did it. You did it," full of the Holy Ghost. They were changed and they were transformed. Jesus was saying, "Look, you cannot do it. You're going to encounter warfare. You're going to encounter demonic spirits. You're going to encounter every opposition to the gospel. You must be full of the Holy Spirit. You must be filled." And so, Krista, if you want to come up now. It all happens at the beginning. This is where it starts. I have a slide here. This is them getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Look, if all we do this morning is listen, I truly believe, I've heard from the Lord, that all we're going to get this morning is head knowledge. But if we will cry out for God, He's ready. Whenever I look at these men and these women that got filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't see a bunch of perfect people. Do you? I saw a bunch of people that had just got converted. Right there. They just got converted. They weren't. The Holy Spirit baptism, you don't study up to get to the Holy Spirit baptism. All right? God is the baptizer, Jesus Christ. And He says, "I want to baptize you with my Holy Spirit. I want to fill you up. And when I fill you up, you'll never be the same." Hallelujah! You will never be the same. So if I could have the prayer team come up right now. Some of us, and guess what? The Holy Spirit baptism is for those who've never been baptized, and it's for those who already have. It says, be filled. Paul spoke in Ephesians. He said, be filled. He was talking to believers. So guess what? We got to get refilled. This next slide I have, some of us are looking a lot like this. And go to the next one. God wants to do that. Amen. God wants to fill us up. Okay, I want to read this next scripture. Go to this next scripture. This is as simple as it gets. It says, the apostles went to Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word. They sent Peter and John. When they came, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet it had not fallen upon them. They had only been baptized. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That sounds kind of simple. Amen? That sounds pretty simple. So we're not going to overcomplicate this. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask that you come down here right now. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to lay hands on you. And we are going to pray that you would be filled up and that you would be filled to overflowing. God would transform you. Amen.
Touch. Let's all stand this morning. I believe God wants us to create a place of worship, an atmosphere of worship in this place. Amen. And as Krista sings this song, let's just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's give Him glory in this place. Amen. That His Spirit would fall here in this place. Amen. Thank You, Father. We worship You, Lord God. Yes, God. We lift our hands to You, Lord. To say, Lord, have Your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fall in this place, O Lord. Have Your way in this place. Have Your way in our lives, God. We worship You, Lord God. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy, Lord God. And Lord God, we cannot do this life, God, without the power of Your Spirit in us, Lord, filling us, leading us, and guiding us in all ways, in all truth, God. Lord, because, Lord, it's the difference, Lord, between us and You doing it, God. If we do it, Lord, it'll come to nothing, Lord. But Lord, fill us, fill all these, God, who are seeking You today, God. Fill them with the power of Your Spirit today, Lord God. That Your kingdom would come, that Your will would be done, Lord God. We lift our hands and worship You in this place and surrender to You, God. Hallelujah, Father. Thank You, Lord.
Our brother wants to share something with us very quickly.
A lot of y'all don't know me, and a lot of y'all do. I used to be... If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here. Many years ago, I tried to commit suicide. And when I was in the hospital, I was sitting there laying in bed. And I would hear a voice saying, "Why did you do this? Why?" And I would open my eyes and I would look around. Nobody was in there. But God has a purpose for me. When I gave my life to the Lord, I asked, I said, I want to know right now if God would forgive me for what I've done. And God forgave me because I would not talk to nobody about what had happened. When I was going to church, I was at work reading the word. I had a lot of fire in my heart. I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. Things happened. I turned my back on the Lord. Even though I turned my back on the Lord, I know He was always there because I always had Him in my heart. I always felt Him, that He was there. Somebody was there. And I tell y'all now, don't give up. Any problems you have in life, do not give up, because it is hard. It is hard to try to get back with the Lord. I told a couple of brothers the other day that God made us of dirt. He did not make us from rock. If you look at dirt and you pour water on it, what happens? The dirt absorbs that water. But if you throw water on a rock, all it does is splash. Nothing happens. That's why God made us out of out of sand to absorb his love with the water. And I just tell y'all, whatever problems y'all have, look to him. Don't turn away from him. Don't run away from him. Because it is hard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is, I believe we heard from the Lord today. Amen. You know, and this is not something that's just a one and done type of thing. As David said, that we're to be filled always, to be filled always. You know, the thing that we always have to ask ourselves, especially when we read these scriptures that were shared this morning, especially the in verse 5, you know, the apostles asked, they did ask the wrong question. And see, and sometimes we can get in our mind, you know, that we're just simply waiting on God to come back. And so therefore, we'll just sit on our laurels and just come, Jesus. Come fast. And we say that a lot. But understand that when Christ answered those apostles that day, he didn't tell them when the kingdom of God would be established, but he told them how it would be established. Amen? He told them how it was going to be done. And it was going to be done through a group of people who would be filled by his Spirit to be his witnesses, to build his kingdom here until that day when he came back. And we can do absolutely nothing without the power of God. It's the difference between us trying to build a house with power tools or hand tools. Amen? That's the difference. That's the difference. And a lot of us, I've tried to do it in my own strength and I've failed every single time and I've wearied myself and grown tired. But see, you know what? Burnout doesn't come with those who are full of God's Spirit. Because it's the power of God. Amen? It's not us. I grow weary. I grow tired, but the Spirit of God never, ever grows weary. And we're to be found laboring for his kingdom until the day that he comes. I want to be found laboring by his power until the day that he comes. Amen? Thank you, Father. Robert.
Amen. I just want to encourage you, if you look at that scripture, they went, the Lord told them to go and wait, and they waited for 40 days. And I just want to encourage you, if you prayed this morning, or if you have prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that has not occurred, I want to encourage you that maybe you need to be waiting. And I'm convinced that waiting is an evaluation time. Because you got to understand what David shared this morning. Part of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really not about you. It ain't about me. It's about him. Him using this as an empty vessel that Robert's not glorified. That Kimberly's not glorified. That Aaron's not glorified. That Jim's not glorified. That he's glorified in. Because we've seen plenty of self-glorification in the Spirit-filled church. And it's not hard to look on Christian TV and be sickened by what some of the things you see, because it's not about that person. I mean, it's not about God. It's about self-glorification. So I'm going to tell you that God wants to fill you, not so that you're glorified, so that he's glorified, so that he has a willing vessel. I just want to share one example. You probably heard a lot, maybe heard it before, but it rings so true, and the Lord's never done something like that again as strongly in my life. And we were on an outreach one time, and I had prayed and fasted as we went on the outreach to Houston. We went to a Christian concert. We went in, and I don't know, for some reason, I was going in later. Everybody was coming out, and they were like, "You don't want to go in there." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't want to go in there?" "Trust me, you don't want to go in there." I went in there. I had to go in there. I felt compelled to go in, and I went in. When I went in, I saw it was just quote-unquote Christian rock music, but it was all self-glorification. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is not about me." And I literally just started weeping. It's just all of a sudden the Lord put his heart within me, and I just felt the grief just overwhelm me, because it was such an such an injustice for what was supposed to be the Lord. And I stood there and I wept and I wept and I wept. And the Lord said, say something. And I said, say what, Lord? What do you want me to say? It went on a little while longer. And then he said, say something. And excuse me. The first time he said it, shortly after that, I heard this voice. And I was 9 months out of prison when this went on. And the Lord said, say something. And I heard this voice said, if you say something, you're going to jail. And about that time, the Lord said, say something again. And as soon as the Lord said, say something the second time, it went completely quiet. Boom. The song was over with, and you could have heard a mouse drop, a pin drop. Might have heard a mouse drop. And I did say something. And I say all that to say, not because I knew the Lord wanted to use me. And obviously the last thing I wanted to do was go to jail. I got escorted out by the police and all that, and I didn't go to jail. I obeyed the Lord, and the concert ended, and it was a big ordeal. It became a big chaotic thing afterwards. And it was almost like the thing of, like, you know, people say, why'd you do that? Yada, yada, yada. And in the midst of all that crowd, it's like I just, the Lord said, turn and walk away. And I turned and walked away. And it's like, it's kind of like I disappeared out of the crowd. I just say, tell that just as an example to you to realize that the baptism, the Holy Spirit, what we seek is about Him. Okay? If you want to glorify the Lord, you seek the Holy Spirit. You seek Him to fill you. There's a being of misjustice. There's been a mockery of the Holy Spirit. There's been throw the baby out with the bathwater because of the Holy Spirit. There's been, we don't believe in that. Oh, we go to the one wild extreme or the other. But I want to tell you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that so your life could glorify Him. He wants to lead you. He wants to fill you. He wants to use you. And that can only happen by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by His Spirit dwelling and living right here. You can do everything within your own strength and power to try to glorify Him, and guess what? It's going to be one big flop. It will. We don't have the ability within ourselves to glorify God, only through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I want to pray specifically, Lord, for those this morning that prayed to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, Your Holy Spirit comes, Your Word comes, Lord, and it divides, Lord God, us. Lord, it divides the truth from the lies, Lord. It comes and it chastens our heart. It convicts us of sin, Lord God. But Lord, it's desire. Your desire is to deliver us and give us hope and life. Lord, not only to deliver us and give us hope and life, Lord, but to fill us. That is the new covenant, Lord God, that we would be filled with the power of Your Holy Spirit and we would bring You glory and honor. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone specifically this morning that prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that in Your time, how You're choosing, Lord, we know there's not a formula, Lord, for that You go by. Lord, you have all creation in Your hands, Lord. You move and You work exactly how You desire to move and work, Lord. Your ways are not our ways. But Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus for those that seek You, for those that want to be filled by Your power of Your Holy Spirit, that want to bring You glory and honor, Lord, but they would be filled with the power of Your Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us. Lord, we declare to You this morning, we need You. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of Your Holy Spirit. I need You. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit new and afresh, Lord God. Lord, we need a move of the power of Your Holy Spirit in this church. Lord, thank You for the people that You brought in, Lord God, for those off the streets, different areas, different backgrounds, Lord God. Thank God they're here. But Lord, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to touch hearts and lives and change people, Lord God. We can have the best programs there exist, Lord, but without You, without the moving and the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, our efforts are in vain. Lord, have your way, Jesus, in us. Have your way in this place. Have your way in your church and your people. Thank you, Lord God. Now, if you want to raise your hands and receive the blessing of the Lord, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, or give you his peace. Lord, may we go with the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear you, Lord. Give us hearts that are quick to obey. Lord, give us lives through the baptism and the power of your Holy Spirit that would bring you glory and honor. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May you be blessed.